I'm calling this meeting to order. We will stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's take a moment for silent observance. Ms. Goodhart, roll call, please.
Director Sasania?
Here.
Director Tornatsky?
Here.
Director Womack?
Present.
Vice President Ohilski? President Millage?
Here.
Thank you.
We have no presentations, but I do have a couple of announcements. The CSD is having a workshop to discuss alternative site locations for a new municipal well, as recommended in the Los Osos Basin Management Plan. And that will be on August 30th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Community Center. The San Luis Obispo County Stormwater Resource Plan is being reviewed at a meeting on Monday, August 13th, and that will at from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., and that's in this room. All right. I will now take public comment for items not on the agenda. And just as a reminder, public comment is limited to 3 minutes or otherwise at the discretion of the president.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I wanted to start off by sort of expressing my disappointment in that I asked Ms. Millage last week why the rubber shredded tire discussion was not going to be on your agenda this month, and she explained that because Director Ohilski was not going to be in attendance, that item had been pushed off another month. The reason for my disappointment is that this has been a long time coming. The Parks and Rec Committee has met and discussed the item many times. There has been communication between the county and your general manager many times. The Parks and Rec Committee met on July the 3rd. They had a robust conversation. They had a recommendation for your board. When your general manager presented her general manager's report on July 6th, she told you it would be on this agenda, and the community has been looking forward to it being before you. And so because one board member can't be here doesn't mean we slow down the things we can do. And I believe your board can do something about the shredded rubber tire mess that is in the park. Nearly 2 years ago, I started a Facebook page, and I invite you all to go there. It's called Play It Safe Los Osos. And there are articles about this rubber tire mulch material that it has been found that it can be cancerous. Doesn't really matter to me whether or not it's cancerous. The county's going to tell you that it's a safe material, but it is a nuisance. It has an odor about it. It is dirty. It leaves our kids dirty. And the community center, the parking lot, the walkways are all dirty from track out of this material. As a nuisance alone, it needs to be replaced. And that's why I would like the community to go to the Facebook page. There's a change.org petition there that can be signed. There are nearly 500 signatures already on the petition. It just makes sense that we elevate this conversation and do something about it. The other thing I wanted to bring to your attention, and some of the community is caught off guard by having a meeting at 6 o'clock, your bylaws specifically say that your regular meetings will be at 7 o'clock. If there's going to be a change, you need to agendize. Your agenda needs to reflect that this is a special meeting, and tonight's agenda doesn't do that, and I think that's disingenuous to the public who might be accustomed to a 7 o'clock meeting. Without that special meeting notice, it's a violation of the Brown Act.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on items not on the agenda? Would you state your name, please?
Oh, yes, sorry. My name is Judith King. Hi. So thank you, Chair and fellow members of the board. Thank you for your time today. My name is Judith King, and I'm here as a representative for No on Measure G, a coalition of San Luis Obispo County taxpayers and families. If passed, No on Measure G would result in a complete shutdown of the oil and gas production within 2 to 3 years. This will shut down an industry that has operated locally for over a century and result in a loss of hundreds of local jobs and millions of dollars that are used to fund vital public programs, public safety, and local schools. I appreciate your time today and hope that your board will consider taking a no position on Measure G. And I'm happy to answer any questions you guys might have. I know this is a lot of new information, but just to put on your radar and for your consideration.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wish to make public comment? Okay, moving on. We don't have a representative from the fire department this evening. Chief Spinharney is off fighting fires. And we've heard a large number of sirens this evening over the last hour. So the person who was going to show up, I'm sure, is doing his job.
Just for public's knowledge, that the chief's report has been published in the agenda.
Thank you. And we don't have a representative from the Sheriff's Department, so we'll move on to the Utilities Department.
Good evening, Madam President, Board of Directors, citizens of Los Osos. My name is Jose Acosta. I am the Utility System Manager for Los Osos Community Services District. Tonight I will be presenting you with the utility report for June 2018. We'll start out with water production information. The total water produced was approximately 15.6 million gallons for the month of June, which equated to about 520,000 gallons per day. This represents a decrease in production from last year by approximately 9.57%. I know I say this every month for the last few months because I'm very proud of the citizens, but we've been doing a very good job the last 3 or 4 months with our production dropping and consumption being at low levels as well. So please continue doing your part on conservation. The production and runtime hours by well sites is located in the charts provided as well. Water billing information, 57% of the service area was red for the month of June, and approximately 14.84 million gallons was consumed by the consumers of Los Osos between the periods of April 10th and June 12th. This generated approximately $241,490. We'll move on to the utility department, operation and maintenance. And within the system, the operators continue doing their daily weekly, monthly water quality sampling, analysis, and reporting for all well sites and throughout the distribution system, monthly metering reading, gathering all replaced meters and sent them out for recycling. So when we do our meter change-out program, we collect the meters, we send them out to a recycling facility and collect those fees and put it back into the meter recycling meter change-out program. They repaired and upgraded a service line at 1608 7th Street. Just to talk about replacement of service lines real quick, I mentioned this a while back, is our service lines, several of them are still old Schedule 40, which is inferior material that's still in the ground, and we're looking to replace those. So what we did several years back is we spent several million dollars to bring in a crew that went out and replaced approximately 50% of the system, because that's all the funds we're able to cover. So we still have almost 50% of the system. I'll say less than 50 because there was some done before that, but 30 to 40% of the system still needs to be replaced. So we're going to start an internal plan with the crew so that they start planning to change out these service lines on with our crew's time, manpower, and materials. So, performed oil changes on the diesel vehicle. That is something that we do in-house for cost savings, because it could cost several hundred dollars if you take the diesels to get changed at a service shop. We do that in-house to save some money as well. Did a fire flow test at 17th Street and Paso Robles Avenue. This is for fire suppressions on houses that they request that we give them fire flows demands based off what the hydrant can provide. Cleaning and moving up parts and equipment at the current storage yard facility to prepare for the new construction on the building that will be coming soon. The crew initiated review and updated and compilation of the utility department standard operating procedures. These are living documents. As we add new procedures, add new equipment, we got to continually update our procedures and ensure that everyone receives proper training on all those procedures as well. In the drainage area, I do want to mention that all drainage locations were weed abated prior to inspections in June. And as last month, there was a question pertaining to the Tierra complex. And the crews did go out there and perform their weed abatement on our property out at Tierra. I did have them go back out there and check it again. And if there was any touch-up needed, they performed that as well. So I just want to let you know that that was asked last month and that we addressed it as well. The rainfall totals, as you could see, there was no rain for the month of June. And the total for the period from April 1st through March 31st is 0.79 inches. So, I will answer any questions that the board may have at this time.
The service lines.
Yes, sir.
We're going from Schedule 40 to 80 or something different?
We're going with the black plastic. It's a thicker plastic. We're not going to Schedule 80.
Okay.
So it's a more stronger material. And it lasts longer than the Schedule 40. Obviously, Schedule 40 is brittle, it'll crack. So we're going with the stronger material.
Okay, so there's something even newer than what I knew about. Okay.
Yes.
I missed the meeting that we had with the fellow that had the device that measured leakage at your meters, that kind of thing. Flume, what was
the Flume, the name. That was the company.
Yeah, did we ever come up with a plan for what... how to pass that information on to customers that might be interested?
At this time, no. I have not. We have not elaborated on that.
Because I know that our meters, or the new meters, will be doing that same function. So there's no reason for us to be spending money on that.
Yeah, exactly. And so what we did do is I put them in contact with the county.
Okay.
Because the county has all kinds of different conservation programs that they're working on. And so I connected them to Ron Munns and a couple of different people to, you know, let them know that we had seen the device and used it, that Rob Miller had actually bought the device and is using it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he actually is using it. And so it's a really interesting device, but for $200, the cost would be on the residents. And like you said, we're about to hopefully get new meters. You know, but yeah, we did. It was a great idea, so I passed them on to the county.
Thank you.
That was some great ingenuity by those Cal Poly students. Very
They have some interesting things coming up there. There was a couple months back a little program to water. They were I still got the piece of paper at home. They were doing something to clean up water, a little portable unit that you could use right at home almost.
Oh, like a filtration device or something?
Any other comments or questions from board members?
Thank you.
Thank you. General Manager Osborne.
Good evening. For activities, this report is for activities for the month of July. Since approval of the 2018-2019 budget, myself, the staff, we've been working hard on getting bids, preparing staff reports for all the projects and equipment that we want to purchase. So next board meeting is going to be pretty full. We'll have quite a few things for then. Staff is preparing for the 2017-2018 audit. We have scheduled a preliminary field work with our auditor for August 23rd and 24th, and the remainder of the audit will be conducted in October. We're still trying to figure out those dates. The bookkeeper and I have been working on the reserve funds and reserve expenses for the 2017-2018 fiscal year for fire, water, and drainage funds, and we'll have a report for you completed by this. That should be done by the September meeting as well. Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee has been reviewing options to remove the rubber chips from the county park next to the community center on Palisades Avenue. There will be a Parks and Recreation Committee meeting next week, August 7th, on Tuesday, for the committee to discuss recommendations regarding the project. Recommendations will be presented to the board at the September 6th meeting. At our July meeting, we had a good, healthy discussion, as was mentioned, and there was some homework that I needed to do. And so not until I could get all the information that I needed was I able to have something prepared for you guys. So it's going back to the Parks and Rec Committee next week, and then we'll once they are on board with what I'm recommending, we'll come to the board to see if that's something that you guys would like to approve. And obviously, we'll hope for your approval. The Los Sosos Income Assistance Fund, letters with application and HUD requirements were mailed out to 121 Los Sosos residents that have not hooked up to the sewer. We received 12 applicants by the July 20th deadline, and I've submitted a report, and it will be discussed under item 7A, under discussion, open discussion. Do we have any comments or questions for me right now? None? Okay, thank you.
Seeing none, we'll move on.
It's a public comment
first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. She has many roles.
Sorry, Lynette.
That's okay. Let me know when I should start.
Now would be good.
Okay. Lynette Tornotsky, the secretary for LOCAC. Neither our chairperson nor vice chairperson could be here tonight, so I kind of have to laugh. There's so many here that we already saw that meeting, including Vicki Millage. So, anyway, we had the usual reports. We had a consent agenda item, which was quite interesting. It was an item to build a house and a barn on a property that had started this process back in the 80s. And it was just on the consent calendar because it was really kind of a no-brainer. They did everything they had to do, and so they are going to be building. They're outside of the prohibition zone. Carrie Brown mentioned something that might be of interest to everybody on the Habitat Conservation Plan. It's very complicated, and last month she was kind of misinformed as to where it went. Our plan has gone to the California Department of Fish and Wildlands. They have to approve it first before it can go to the federal U.S. Fish and Wildlife because apparently some mitigation will be Department of Fish and Wildlife land, so they have to approve it first. She is hoping she'll have better news for us that it actually went to the feds next month, but we'll see. You already mentioned Sarah Crabble, who's the Water Resources Division and County Public Works, having a stormwater resource plan. She had quite a detailed report for us, so I would suggest people who might be listening to this on TV show up at that meeting. It's very interesting. We had on the regular agenda... a vacation rental come before us that got changed to a homestay. So a homestay is a lot easier bar to meet in terms of getting a homestay permit. And some people did not know what that was. So Carrie Brown explained it, and if I get this paper, she said a homestay is where you rent out a bedroom or two within your home while you are still there. So it's not renting out a whole residence like a vacation rental. It's only a portion, and the owner is still there while the guests come to the house. So that was a distinction not everybody understood. We have a new website, and I'm hoping everybody will go to locac.info, and if there's any comments you'd like to make about it, please contact us. And our vacation rental proposed ordinance that we have given to the county on what was voted on by LOCAC for vacation rentals, that ordinance is up on the website, so people might be interested in taking a look at that. It has many, many more steps to go through before it becomes anything we actually do. And that's my report. Any questions?
Any questions from board members?
Thanks.
Mr. Vincent.
Madam Chair, Board of Directors, members of the public, I'm Steve Vinson, the President of Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. The business of the month in July was Domino's and Domino's Pizza. I saw Ann there the other night. And
yes, you did.
And so anyway, we asked them for their store, and we put it on our website, which, by the way, we've got a new website also. We're still tweaking it, but I encourage you to go and look at it. So here is what Chris Sletta wrote. The Domino's Pizza in Los Osos has been locally owned and operated since it was bought by my wife, Brenda, in 1989. Brenda started working at the Lompoc Domino's in 1983 and was offered to work in the Los Osos Domino's in 1988. In 1989, the Los Osos location was up for sale and purchased by Brenda. Chris goes on, while I was attending Cal Poly in 1990, I met Brenda and was immediately attracted to the owner of a pizza restaurant. I mean future wife. The guy's a great guy. So in 1994 they were married, and Chris moved in to the Los Osos home. In 1995 they had their first child. 1998 their second child. Domino's became a true family operation, with the kids growing up around the store and eventually working with us and running the store. We've enjoyed running the day-to-day operations of this business over the last 29 years and look forward to many more years to come in this beautiful community. So I just wanted to share that with you. I love that story. So August is the month of ice cream, apparently. First up is the Chamber's having an open house with the Rotary. It's a combined mixer, and it's going to be next Wednesday, August 8th, from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Chamber office and in our parking lot in the back. So here's a scoop, the better way to celebrate the beginning of Los Osos summer than with ice cream, a Chamber, Opera House, and mixer. You're going to be able to build your own sundae. There'll be beer and wine, crazy Hawaiian shirt contest. Every man of a certain age has one of those shirts in their closet.
I've got several.
Yeah. raffle prizes and a preview of Grandparents' Day activities. And just staying on the ice cream theme, the South Bay Women's Network is going to have Doc Bernstein's Ice Cream, a bake walk, games, activities, dog parade, and more. This is going to be at noon on August 11, from noon to 4. Activity tickets are $1 each. Dog parade at 3, $10 entry fee. Proceeds benefit Cuesta College female reentry students. And it's going to be at the little schoolhouse behind the community center. So that's August 11, starting at noon. Chamber, we've got a new event that's going to be coming up, and it's going to be on Labor Day, Monday, September 3rd, and it's going to be 2:30 to 5:30. Most of you know that we have a farmer's market every Monday, so we're going to be sandwiched between the farmer's market and the Beer on the Pier event. So the Taste of Baywood is farm to table, is a free food event showcasing local vendors from across the Central Coast as well as their fresh and sustainable food options. Our event will take place in conjunction with the farmer's market, Beer on the Pier, as I just mentioned. So come and shop our market, enjoy the farm-to-table food showcase, and stay for music, beer, wine, barbecue at the pier. So you'll be able to meet your farmers, meet the folks that grow with the Central Coast eats, ask questions, and interact, connecting to the food that you eat. There'll be interactive workshops, participating in interactive workshops, farm-to-table food challenge. Shop the local farm, the Los Osos Farmers Market, and then prepare a dish with your haul to win best in show. So we've got a little competition going there. And then there's the restaurant showcase. Come by and try all the wonderful creations of our local chefs and restaurants have available in the Central Coast farm-to-table showcase their best stuff. So that's so again, that's Labor Day. I think there's going to be a lot. I think Baywood's going to be very, very busy on Labor Day. It's going to be fun. And so this is our first stab at it. I'm sure we'll make some tweaks, but we're pretty excited about it. We hear, you know, Labor Day, I think of politicians. You know, they're always marching in parades around the country and such. So there's a rumor there might be some elected officials there. I don't know. Are you ready to participate in this year's third annual Bear Festival? We're looking for bears that represent the community spirit, big, small, friendly, silly, serious. We invite local businesses, community artists, creative professionals, organizations, and students to create something special for locals and visitors to enjoy. All Los Osos bears must be in place by August 15. That's a change. It was going to be August 8th. Now we've extended it a week to the 15th. So the bears will be moved to the South Bay Community Center on September 9th for Grandparents' Day, where they'll be judged by a panel in the community. They've got categories are chamber business, residential organization, youth under 18. A map of the bears will be available at the chamber office. For information regarding signing up for a booth at the Grandparents' Day Festival, contact Michelle Feldman of the Rotary Club. Last thing I have, we've got the trip to Spain still going on. It's going to be March 20 of 2019. So you could go to the Chamber website for details on that. That's all I have.
Questions from board members?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, moving on to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee report. We met on Tuesday, July 24th. We welcomed the new committee members and reviewed the Brown Act guidelines. Chief Spinharney and Chief Alex gave a very robust and detailed orientation to the new committee members. And there we are. We haven't scheduled another ESAC meeting because of fire season. We don't know when we will have them back in town.
If I might add something to that, because I was at that meeting, I heard from the chiefs that we don't need them to have a meeting, that they're going to be busy for many, many months and maybe year-round from now on in the future. And even Spinharney said, you don't need us to have a meeting. So I think we should have scheduled a quarterly meeting that we can always cancel when we need to.
Fair enough. Any other comments?
Nope.
Okay. In that case,
that's my turn.
It's your turn.
Okay. We had the Financial Advisory Committee meeting on Monday. All members were present. We approved the minutes for the April through July meetings. We voted to receive and file the warrant register for July 2018. The financial reports and revenue and expense reports for the period ending June 30th were, recommended to be received and filed. As per our bookkeeper, the fiscal year-end financial reports will be submitted after the audit is complete. We agreed to recommend a change in the allocation of interest in the accounts remaining at Pacific Premier Bank. The fire has moved, their funds have moved, so we're no longer going to allocate them a percentage of the interest. And so it was recommended that the board approve that change. We recommended approval of the board item regarding recommendation of the phase two of the Los Osos Low Income Assistance Fund. We had some discussion that our limits should not be the same as the county. It should maybe be a little bit above. The county said, all right, I believe I heard that county said that there are a few people just above the threshold, and maybe our board could discuss our goals for the fund and maybe if we should raise our threshold a little bit. I think it's something we need to talk about here. I don't know if we can add that to this meeting or add it to the agenda for the next one.
Yes.
Next meeting is scheduled for September 4th, since Monday, September 3rd, is a holiday, so that'll be a Tuesday. That's all. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you very much. Director's announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars.
I just wanted to mention a change in an upcoming meeting. Normally, the Basin Management Committee meets, the third Wednesday of the month. This month, I guess because of the workshop, the well location workshop, the Basin Management Committee is meeting that same day, the 30th, at 1:30 in the afternoon. Not the usual Wednesday. It's on Thursday, the 30th.
Thank you for that reminder. Anything else? Okay. Do we have any questions with answers? Okay, thank you so much. All right, moving on to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports.
Aren't you going to ask if you have to pull in consent items?
I haven't gotten there yet. Well, if you'll let me finish my sentences, thank you so much. So, public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda, except for items pulled for separate consideration. Directors, do I have any items to be pulled?
6E.
It is.
Okay.
All right, now I will take public comment. And just as a reminder, each person who wishes to comment has 3 minutes to comment on both the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
Are you ready?
I certainly am.
Great. I'm Julie Tacker, and my first comment on the chamber report, I think the Bear Festival is spelled B-E-A-R, just so nobody makes a mistake. I thought that was funny. Sorry. That's what I mean. Don't spell it. Don't spell that. And then the other thing is apparently Domino's pizza can cause children. Be careful there. They have babies in their business. I thought that was cute. All right, so the LOCAC report, maybe you touched on it, but I know, Vicki, you touched on it at the beginning of the meeting, this drainage meeting of the 13th of August. There was a gal at LOCAC from the county that talked about this, and she mentioned that your general manager is proposing that perhaps high groundwater could be put into the sewer system as part of some drainage scheme. I'd like to hear more about that. Not high groundwater. Stormwater runoff into the sewer. That's what I'd like to hear more about. My mistake. But she also mentioned that the Los Osos drainage plan from the 90s is going to be considered as part of this approach. But I don't know that anybody remembers the CSD. It may even been before Ann's time. The CSD commissioned a plan for walking paths and LID on the linear sections of Pismo and Paso. And if you could find that document, I think you'll find it fascinating, fabulous, great ideas for stormwater runoff, and you can put that in. I did have a question regarding the warrants. I don't remember why Verdon is working for us, and I know it's a small amount, $508, $509. I'd like to be reminded why they're involved. I wasn't happy with their work when I watched them do the public outreach for the Los Osos sewer. And then I'm concerned, I've raised this at finance, and I'd like the rest of the board to also pay attention to tracking of the low-income assistance fund, because it's not in your financials, and how the administrative draws will be applied to the fund, and again how that's all tracked. So I think sooner as opposed to later, it needs to be folded into your monthly reports.
Hi, Lindy from Los Osos here. I wanted to speak on the, I have a request and probably a good suggestion for the Parks and Rec committee meeting that's coming up on the 7th. I am requesting that you ask the county to submit their budget for our parks, an annual budget or however they break it down. My concern is that they are reneging on removing the chips because it's too expensive, but I feel that they are not, couldn't possibly be meeting whatever is, should be budgeted for our Los Osos, our only park, and we are the most underfunded community in the entire county. So I would like you to find out, if possible, a request to submit what their budget is so that we can understand better why our park is not being taken care of and why removal of what we consider toxic rubber chips, tire chips, is not something they want to take on. So I think we might get a little further if we can explain that it could be in their budget to remove those chips since they are causing so many problems. Then I also was interested in the low-interest fund. I still have so many questions about those of us that were forced to hook up and told that there would be penalties, and now it's dragged on for a good year plus with the county having messed up their low-interest fund. They did not get their grant applications in on time, so they had to start the whole process over. So we have a number of people. I can't find the number right off the top of my head, but it's over 100 people that are non-compliant with the hookup. I think it would be of great interest to most of us to know why they are non-compliant. Do they not respond to emails and letters? Are they can't afford it, or are they absolutely refusing to hook up? So I think that's an important part of the CSD, looking at giving these people, a couple of the people, one person was a little bit over on their income, therefore they couldn't comply. Another person had already done it, and they were asking for reimbursement. There might be quite a few people that are asking for reimbursement if you actually put out some feelers for that. And then lastly, I wanted to just make aware that there is an appeal against the LOCAC saw the, I guess Verizon is proposed and was approved to put in four add-on towers. They're boxes that will go on top of telephone poles. They're 5G technology. So that's a conversation our community should have about whether we want cell tower proliferation.
Yes. Thank you.
Richard Margetson. On the utility report, the year-end figures are in the data sheets now. Kind of played out just like the rate committee predicted at mid-year. 10 million gallons additional consumption this year. 9 of the 12 months, there was an increase in consumption. 2 months there was a decrease, and 1 month there was only a thousand gallon decrease in consumption. And revenue tracking 130, 140 higher than budgeted. I don't suppose Ron and I and Rob get to split that, do we? Anyway, the reason I want to talk about these numbers a minute is water consumption was 154 million gallons. Production was 182. Just based off of these charts, I think this is something the Utilities Committee needs to start having a discussion about. That's a 15% difference there's a number of terms for it, but I'll just use unaccounted for water. Back before the sewer project was started, before the lines were put in the street, there was discussion at Utilities Committee meetings in the past as to whether the digging up of the streets, putting in the sewer lines and then laterals later, would have an effect on the water system and could possibly open up leaking in other areas. 15% is higher than where we were, substantially higher than where we were at one point after we spent a good portion of the iBank money to tighten up the system. So I think it's something we kind of need to maybe talk about, see what direction we can go, because that's, by any standard, that's considered a high number. I know it's not Jose's fault, and you know he just got here, but I think it's something that the committee and the board needs to address. And then the other comment is related to the Emergency Services Committee meeting. We went through all of this to get to a point where there's no meeting scheduled, and the next meeting that was even mentioned might be December or January because of fire season. And the chief said you could hold a meeting. Totally inappropriate. You will regret how you are handling the Emergency Services Committee.
Thank you. Is there any more public comment? Seeing none, I will close public comment. So I will now entertain a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda that have not been pulled, and we will do this by a roll call vote since we have resolutions.
I have one correction to the minutes that I'd like made. Last page, 12 general action items, appointment of public members to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. I did appoint Emily Miggins. I did not appoint Craig Baltimore.
Do I have a second? I need a motion.
Yeah, he's just making a correction.
Yeah, fine.
But I will make that motion.
All right, there you go.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
President Millage.
Yes.
Thank you.
Moving on to the general action items. excuse me. General Manager Osborne, would you like to lead us into this?
This is regarding the recommendation for the Los Osos Low Income Assistance Fund, Phase 2. We have received a total of 12 applications for financial assistance with their sewer lateral. Applications were reviewed by Lisa Gonzalez and myself, who is a finance committee member, per the Housing and Urban Development HUD. Low-income standards. 11 applicants met the low-income threshold and were eligible for assistance. However, one of the applicants was looking for reimbursement, which we found out later, which disqualifies them from this phase two of the program. We started with a balance of $169,015.64. You will notice as an attachment, I believe, we do have the Community Foundation December 31st, 2017, what the balance was in that fund. And we have asked the Community Foundation for a total of $40,000 of those funds to be transferred into the Los Osos low-income checking account. We've spent a total of $18,160 of the funds for phase one. So we do have a remaining $21,840. Yes, and our Premier Bank statement is there, which also reflects that amount. And in addition, staff time, I've been keeping track of my expenses. Staff time at this point is $1,526.30. I do have that split up. It was brought to my attention by the auditor when we first started discussing this funds that he wanted it done separately since it's not really the district's funds. So that's one of the items that we will be discussing in a couple of weeks, and we'll figure out how to do those adjustments to most obviously out of the admin 100 fund to pull everything that's the expenses up until June 30th of 2017. Since it is a lengthy process, if you approve the phase two, I will be asking for an additional $10,000 because by the time we receive that, we might be close to using what we do have in there right now. So if there's any questions regarding this, we did go through this process through the Finance Advisory Committee, and they have approved this program. Are there any questions from anybody?
Why is it that, the program was set up to disallow reimbursements? Was it anticipated and specifically addressed, or was it that we didn't deal with that in this structure? Is that why we're saying no to reimbursement?
I believe that we did discuss it at the Finance Committee level meeting about reimbursement, but that was going to open up you know, something different.
Oh, it certainly will.
And so we, I believe Marshall at the time and the Moore Bay Estuary were definitely wanting to at least start with the intent of the program, which was to help people get their sewer laterals installed. So we wanted to do that and exhaust that first before, and we knew, we do know that we're going to end up with money left over, and so at that point is when we need to discuss and with, you know, the Moore Bay Estuary as far as what should we do in phase three or in either case. But, yeah.
It's just hard when you see, like, applicant 20 who has way lower income than some of the people who got approved, who did the right thing, and...
And she, exactly.
And with their meager means, managed to pull that off.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of those people are out there. And
I think there's a few.
Yeah, that would be the complicating part, is... But if there is money, I, you know, we need to look at that in addition maybe to raising the qualification limits. I guess that's kind of one and the same. It could be kind of the same action.
No,
it's not the same, but it...
I think there's a list of, you know, very low income, extremely low income.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can differentiate if somebody's in extremely low income and manage to swing it, that, you know, if we're trying to help people, that it's a hardship. I don't know that we, or maybe it was discussed before I got here, but I don't know if we discussed these, and we should discuss
Not in detail, I don't think we did.
We started in that direction, mm-hmm. and then my flyer, I was told that it was, that I had aimed too high as far as coming out of the range, and so it was, so then at that point it was like, just stick to the HUD requirements. But again, I agree. I think that the main point should be to go a little bit outside the realm. Well, obviously that'd be a great discussion to say, okay, how far outside is outside? But I also feel that even the one applicant, I understand that that particular applicant was $6,000 over the limit, and to us, that's like, well, that's a lot of money. But the circumstances that that particular person had was just... It was amazing. It was a lot of hardships all of a sudden that come down, deaths and disability and just all of a sudden, all these things. And so I feel like there should be a point where we could also make exceptions. I don't know if that opens up a can of worms. I don't know, but definitely I think it's something that when we're done with these 10, I think we should, I would really like to come up with something different.
And then I guess I have a question. Do we know the 99 people that haven't come forward? I mean, I think we had 112 on the list, 12.
Well, after this, once we approve these, I call the county tomorrow and I tell them exactly who it is. And then those other people that did not reply to us and at that point have not replied even to the county, then the county is going to be going after them. Can't quote me, but I'm pretty sure that at the September meeting, they have something, if it's not earlier, but at the September meeting, the county will be bringing something to the Board of Supervisors, and they're going to do reinforcement now. They're going to start. They've done their best to try to give everybody time, but I think they're a little bit over that now, and they're going to come down hard on people. So,
but, I mean, do we need to have any way of finding out why they didn't reply?
Well, we don't.
Because we're, maybe they're not, it's not an income issue.
Well, we don't, because it's not our responsibility to track them down. I mean, we've done our best to reach out to them.
Right. Ours is a low-income assistance fund. If it's not an income issue, then you fight that out with the county.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that there are some commercial properties that are potentially up for sale, so they have drugged their feet on that kind of thing, wanting to pass that on to the new buyers. I don't want to get involved in any of that.
Yeah.
That's
I guess I'd be curious as how much of the people have not hooked up are, you know, if the idea is for this is for low-income assistance, it'd be good to know if that's not the problem of some of these 100 people that are left, so we just wouldn't have to think about them. We let the county do enforcement, and so we could focus on the people that do need help.
Well, that's what the county's going to try and find out.
Yeah.
I assume with their next phase of letters, you're going to have to respond as to why.
Yes.
And if you don't have an income-related excuse, I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It'll get you off that hook.
Pay the bill.
Yeah. But that's the county. That's for the county to figure that out.
Yeah, that's for the county. That's from
that. They can do all the tracking.
Well,
and if there's an eligible list.
I'm fine with that's for the county to figure out. But what we're left with is there's a certain number of people that haven't hooked up. And we have to figure out. We have a fund to help people with low income. We need to figure out what percentage, how can we make decisions if we don't know if the income is the issue or they just refuse to do it. I mean, I feel like that's a piece of information we need to make decisions on how to spend this money.
And the county will gather that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's
Other than knocking on doors, all you can do is send a registered letter.
Yeah.
You know, make them sign that they have received that letter. And I don't know what the county's plans are, but I would assume that's probably part of the next step.
Next.
We're not just talking about.
But they seem to know sometimes that income is the issue. But that they're a little bit over, so maybe they have some information that would be useful for us making decision.
Mm-hmm.
If we know it's 20 people, or if it's all 100 people, or
well, they gave us that those people were in that 121. So
well, which people?
The people that you just mentioned that were out of the range, you know, and such. But it doesn't matter. We sent letters to everybody.
But how many of those people are in those 121? I mean, that's I don't know.
But they didn't respond. I guess they didn't respond back to our letters. So I mean, we did a pretty good job, I thought, this time of reaching to churches, you know, posting. But they're not getting back to us. So I mean, do we really want to? Because what's going to end up happening is. That would be staff, and then we have to charge that fund, and I already don't want to charge the $1,500. So if all of a sudden staff is, you know,
that reminds me of another point. You mentioned at Finance Committee the other night that utilities manager was helping you review some of the lateral connection plans as a voluntary basis.
Yes.
We can't ask you to do that after hours.
He did it on his lunchtime.
Really, honestly. Okay. I mean, I believe you. I wanted to make sure it wasn't he volunteered to help me, but it's on CSD time.
It's not the military, so
yeah.
She
yeah,
didn't
I
volunteer
I can't
him.
Make him. He's kind of bigger than me, too.
I might be able to help just a little bit here if what Board Member Womack is asking is, does the county actually have some non-individually specific information about the approximately 100 people that haven't replied in terms of do they know that 30 of them are close but just over or just have some more information. We can certainly ask the county for that so that you guys can use that in the future if the county has that information. Getting the information on our own would be very difficult because these people have privacy rights. And so we can't make them give that to us even if we weren't concerned about
time.
Money. But we can certainly ask.
I'm wondering if they have the information that would help us disperse these funds, we should. I don't know who it would be that
we could ask.
We can ask. And as long as we don't ask for specific information about individuals that shouldn't be public record, then if they have that information gathered, they can share it with us so that you can include it in decision making. You're going to have a tough time making a decision because it's not a typical situation. It's not governed by clear law or principle. And it's not governed by you, in a sense, because it's complicated by the Estuary Foundation. People can clearly make donations to public entities like the Los Osos CSD and clearly restrict it to a certain purpose, and those are tax deductible. And the definitional documents are sparse as far as which ones I've been able to see. And the words low income were in there, but there isn't even one specific legal definition of what low income is. We picked to use an easily defendable one, but that doesn't mean there aren't other definitions out there that would meet the intent of the donors. And I don't know the donors, so it'd be hard for me to pontificate on that any further.
We spent decades with this whole issue of the sewer project. I don't want to spend another 20 years. I want to get this thing done. And if the county doesn't want to work with us, I don't know if they do or not, I want to get this put to bed. And you can sort of, do they have the morality to sort of pay what they should pay? Or what? We're down to a small number, but it's a nagging thing. It's going to be nagging us for a long time. I think getting it done quickly, whatever we have to do, should be the priority.
Okay, just to recap, there's not a great deal we can do at this point without information from the county.
So tonight I'm just asking for the approval of the 10 applications,
yeah.
And once we get that moving, I'll call the county and ask them if they have any more information on those remaining people that have not hooked up to the sewer and see what they got.
Can't hurt.
Can't hurt.
Okay. I will now take public comment on this item. Not yet.
Lindy Owen, I appreciate Christine's approach, and I think that is where we need to go. Basically, if I understand where we stand today, we have done our efforts to reach out, and so we're done. So the remaining amount of money, and again, if it is kind of an open low income usage, then we need to move to phase two, would be to find ways to help people that maybe went over their budgets to get hooked up. Developing a method, and if we have to use some of the admin for that, that's fine. I go back to the fact that this was the county's job. They had the low income money and the grants set up, and then they failed at that, and then they came back and they've redone it. But those 100 some people are all supposed to be covered under the county. So what we're doing is using a fund that was set up to duplicate that, and I think that we need to think outside the box as to how we could, in other ways, help people and, as Lou said, get this over with. Maybe at the next finance meeting we could brainstorm how else that money could go towards helping people that are definitely low income and willing to work with us.
Yeah. Julie Tacker, and Renee just said that this is not the district's funds. I absolutely disagree. This is the district's funds. When these funds were donated to the district, they became district funds. So what you do with them henceforth throughout this process should have started with what's the fundamental goal here? The National Estuary Program only gave a portion of the money. A good portion of the money came from citizens. So the National Estuary Program is not the dictator over how the fund is used. Obviously, there are complications because the county has two programs. One program is for the very low income, and that is a loan program. If the applicant stays in their home for 2 years, the loan is forgiven and it becomes a gift. And that's a beautiful thing for that very low income person. The next level is the CDBG funds, and those funds are what you are targeting, the same people. I don't care how many times you have phases, if you keep sending the same criteria, you're not going to get new people. They don't meet the criteria. So that's why you have to talk about what your criteria is. Some years ago, Chuck, when you were on the board the first time, you were on an ad hoc committee with Maria Kelly. I don't know if there's any minutes or notes from that time, what you were working on, what you were going to bring forward to the board, but maybe it's time we have an ad hoc committee of the board. I'd like to see Christine and yourself tackle this, because I think I'm having some heartburn over your general manager's approach. bring it back to the board in a report. Then you guys make decisions. You have to have a brainstorming session, a workshop, something, because this is a lot of money. But you don't want to burn it up in administration, and if she has to work on this much more, it will start to hit the fund. She provides some accounting, but it's old. It's from December. Was there interest accrued? We've drawn against it. This is December, last year, 8 months ago. I want to see year-to-dates. I want to see actual financials associated with this money. When you're talking about what kind of program, yes, approve these 10 people, get this over with, because I think this wasn't handled right. Let's get it over with so we can start fresh. But consider that some of these homes... May I finish? Consider that some of these homes are maybe complex in their hookups, and they may be very expensive to hook up. Back in the day, we talked about some homes maybe costing $20,000. You need to put a cap on who gets how much money. You can't just willy-nilly approve them all.
Thank you.
Steve Best. Sorry I walked in a little bit late. I missed the time. I was expecting 7 o'clock, and now I see it's 6 o'clock. But, so I wasn't privy to some of the previous conversation on this bill. I am very thankful for this program. I've had 5 operations in stage 4 melanoma in these past 2 years, and if it wasn't for that, you know, I got dropped through the cracks with the county. This was my last resort. I'd be, I don't know how I would have put it together, but I couldn't with the county. I was either too high or too low or whatever it was. And it was a blessing. There's a lot of other people out there that need this. And I don't know, I understand what all the yammering. It seems like we're just spinning our wheels, wasting our time, and not doing good things in this world. And it's about time we start, you know, having a little compassion and start doing what needs to be done. You know, what needs to be done is getting the sewer finished, getting as many people on it as possible, and moving forward. And I can't thank Renee enough for the work she did and this program. And a lot of other people could need this. And just trying to parse it down to, you know, who deserves it, who doesn't, what do they do in their lives, you know, do they have a right to it, and all this kind of good stuff, that's just being cruel. I'm sorry. But, you know, we've got to have a little compassion for people in this world. Thank you.
Is there any further public comment? If not, I'm closing public comment. Is there further board discussion?
Yeah, I thought there was one good point that Julie brought up, and that is, what if you have a very complicated situation that is $15,000? Is there a cap on the assistance per household, or do we just, do we accept the people before we see the bid on their house? We're kind of committing to taking on whatever it takes at that point. And that does seem kind of odd that maybe we're making a commitment that we don't even know how much it is for a particular individual. So we don't really have the bid process until we've accepted the people.
And we have them go out to bid.
Okay. Well, I want to see this done. I want to see it moved ahead. And I guess we'll deal with that issue if we wound up with that $15,000 bid.
Yeah, so if we have something like that come back, then I'll definitely bring that back to FAC and the board if something outrageous comes like that. Because it's possible. It's definitely possible.
Yeah.
I mean, we already had one go wrong and ended up having to pay a little more. So
yeah
no, absolutely.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay. All right. In that case,
I will entertain a motion to approve all the applicants.
I move. Oh, go ahead. Lou Beebe. Oh, I move that we approve the all the applicants, 10 applicants.
Do I have a second?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. But I would like it noted, I'm not going to volunteer for that committee that sits down and it looks if we have the next 50 people who want reimbursement and decide who's in and who's not.
We'll bring something back and we'll all work on criteria.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah, I think that was a good point that we should decide.
Mm-hmm. But it's tricky because criteria, without knowing how many people might be eligible that way, we could change the criteria a little bit and get overwhelmed with applications and then just have to say, we can't really do anything unless we're going to decide who's the most worthwhile.
Or the other is you divide the money, you just say it can't fully reimburse you, but with this phase of money, if we spent it all, then we spent it all.
Let's move on with that discussion.
I think it's a good point. We should talk about it.
We'll do that, and we will talk about it, just not right now.
No. All righty.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Item 6E was pulled, and we will hear it at this time.
Okay.
I thought I was actually going to move right into staff.
Oh, that would be fine with me.
Good.
That would be fine with me.
Well, I guess I'm caught off guard because I didn't know it was going to get pulled, so I'll read the staff report. The Finance Advisory Committee was requested to look at how interest income was distributed among the funds. The fire department has transferred all of their funds, which is $1.5 million and some change per the 2016-2017 audit, into one bank account. They will be receiving, obviously, 100% interest from their Los Osos South Bay Fire Premier Money Marketing Account, which, as of June 1st, their money literally started, their bank account literally started on June 1st. All the remaining funds, water, drainage, parks, are currently commingled in the LAIF Rabobank money market accounts, and interest income is being distributed among the funds. And since Fire no longer has funds in LAIF Rabobank, they also had a Premier CD over at Premier Bank, and obviously we didn't want to pull that because we would have had penalties. So when we put all their money in one bank account, that included that money that they had there. What I need is to recommend temporary interest income distribution changes until we can unmingle the funds. And on the second page, we show what the difference is, where we want to go from the current to proposed. That's all I have for now.
So I have two questions. So how much is left that's in water, drainage, parks? What's the amount that's in Pacific Premier? Or
in
how much is left after fire is out? What's the amount?
Water has $1.2 million and change. Drainage has $357,000 and change. Parks and Recreation has $295,000.
So about $1.5
million? No, $1.902,301.
Pardon me, what were?
I came up with $1,902,301.
Okay, total. There you go. That's total.
So around $2
million? Yeah.
And then
a little over, yeah.
The interest we get is 0.2% minus fees?
Minus fees. So
okay. Yeah. So $2 million times 0.002. We're talking about $4,000 a year. $333 a month, probably less than that because they'll charge us fees. So I think what Renee wants to do is eventually have different accounts for the different monies, and then they will get the interest. I mean, we won't have to do any calculation, but instead of arguing about a relatively small amount of money and how we allocate it, it's just a fix for a short period of time.
But I'm not sure we can legally do it. If the 65% of that money in those accounts is water reserve. We can't give water money to any other departments. It's an enterprise fund. That means that 65% of the interest earned has to go back to water, not 50%, not 48%. 65% of those funds, of that $1.9 million, is from water. So 65% of the income earned should go to water. And legally, it may have to.
Okay, so maybe an easier fix would be to say whatever percentage of
the question the you ask, how much of the money is in each of these accounts, Leif and Rabobank, take the percentage from each and allocate the interest. It's not that difficult, but there's other questions, too. In terms of the fire account, so they are now in a money market account.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what paragraph one of your discussion says. And honestly, I don't know how you wound up getting them 100% interest, because that's 95% more than anybody else
gets.
Oh,
no, I think what it is their account is
100%
their account
of the interest earned.
Right, because their account is segregated from the rest of the funds.
But they're not earning 100% interest.
Correct.
No.
Okay.
The interest shows
and
1.8.
That was a.
But their interest is 1.85.
Just a second.
That's the interest rate for this account.
I understand that.
Okay.
But it says they're earning 100%, and that was brought up a month ago at the Finance Committee meeting. This same report came to Finance a month ago.
It says they will be receiving 100% interest from their. And I'm referring to the fact that they're not splitting that with anybody.
I understand that.
Okay.
It's bad grammar. And it was brought up a month ago at the Finance Committee meeting, and it didn't get corrected. Two paragraphs later, it says, since FIRE no longer has funds in the LAIF, Rabobank, or Pacific Premier CD, so we moved it from the CD to a money market, I guess is what we did.
Yes.
But on the next page, the third box down, Pacific Premier Bank CD interest distribution current. That kind of implies that they were getting
100%, and now we'd like to give it to water since we gave FIRE all of their money. We didn't leave it in that CD. We moved everything to the money marketing. Yes.
It sounds to me like we reimbursed them. We said, here's the value of the CD. Since it's instead of moving the CD to a different bank that may or may not accept it, they just gave the value of it and then kept the CD in the water account. But maybe we shouldn't use 100% when we're referring to the interest. Just say all and take that 100% out.
I think
that's
all.
Okay.
Right. The wastewater.
Sure.
Second paragraph under discussion on page one says all of the remaining funds, water, drainage, and parks, currently commingled in LAIF and Rabobank. Now I notice in the Rabobank it's included, wastewater is included. Although the discussion says it's just water, drainage, and parks. But in the box, you've got wastewater in there. Isn't the wastewater assessment held in a separate account all by itself? And that's the one that earns 2.6% interest.
No. Wastewater fiduciary has, there's a wastewater fiduciary account. And I want to say there's like, the last time I saw it, we were trying to figure that out, it was like $106,000, and it's assessments and lien funds being held in a very separate account. We're not talking about
right, prepaid assessments and
yeah,
things like
but
that.
I guess that's the problem. Is it's all commingled in there, and it needs to be in its own account. So there is no separate account for that fund. What you're saying is, aren't they getting? No, it's like, no, they're all, there's somehow, which I did not do a long time ago, somebody made all these different allocations, and which is kind of crazy. And so that's what we're trying to do, is figure out how much money it should be in each account and have different funds, have the money, each one of them have their own funds. So I don't know how to answer. I don't believe that all of you know, it's not, they don't have their own account, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There's some of their money is in this Robo money marketing account. So that's why we're trying to just do a temporary fix, very temporary, until we can figure it out. In the meantime, FIRE shouldn't get interest from LAIF.
But it says right here under that middle box on page 2.
Mm-hmm.
Wastewater Fiduciary Fund 602 receives 2.6% interest income because of assessment lien funds being held.
Yes. So we're going to keep that over on the right side.
That's
still going to get
the interest rate they get. That doesn't, I mean.
Not interest. That's the allocation. So we're only talking, these numbers are only allocation.
Oh, but it says.
It says receives 2.6% interest income.
I apologize. I didn't see that.
Interest
income. In other words, they're in the interest income box, on their fund sheet. That's what we call it, interest income. They're receiving income from interest. So that's what all this is.
If what you wanted is, it's really the allocation of the wastewater fiduciary is 2.6%. Then, it's not, and that should be removed. That's misleading.
Okay.
If they're in the same pot of money receiving the same,
it's got to be different.
Minus fees, 0.2%.
Rabobank current interest rate is 0.2. So
no, it's
yeah, it's 0.2.
It says right here, okay. Rabobank current interest rate is 0.2.
So again, when I mean interest income, that's what we refer to it in the revenue and expense report. When we split up the interest, we consider it as a line item, and it's called interest income. So that's how we refer to when we split up the allocations, when we split up the interest between everybody, the line item is interest income. So that's what I was referring to.
Okay, but this line, I do see where that's misleading. It sounds like it's getting 2.6. So
it's getting 2.2% of the pot of the
right,
whole of
but
the
I would remove.
The
I would remove this line altogether because it's very misleading.
Okay.
Does
that just, I mean, magically?
I understand that.
Don't interrupt. Because what you're talking about, 2.6% is allocation of the funds. So I would say it's the wastewater fund 602 is 2.6% allocation of the funds, and it should not say interest income because I see what you're saying.
I understand what
confusing.
The director is saying. You're saying, yeah, I can see how that can confuse. Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm not convinced. If the current interest rate is 0.2%, and that's what water and fire and drainage are getting from Rabobank, why is wastewater 602 getting 2.6% if they're all in the same account?
I don't know. Oh. I didn't create.
It's got to be in a different account.
I didn't create that. FIRE is in a different account and it with a different bank, and they are receiving a higher interest rate. Mm-hmm. But what was it, 1.7?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1.7.
Right.
Something now, I think.
Nobody, no one else.
Everything
is
else.
Yeah.
Can I interject just for a minute?
Yes, please.
If we're looking at the Rabobank money market interest distribution, what it is FIRE was of the interest that's earned, which the current interest rate is stated as 0.2% monthly. FIRE was getting 42.9, mm-hmm. Water 48, the fiduciary account 2.6, drainage 6.5, and that all added up to 100% of the interest income. And so what she's asking you is to decide how to allocate the interest income between now and the time accounts can be separated. Most agencies commingle, and so it's quite often, I mean, most of the time I see it commingled. I think trying to achieve a state where you aren't commingling is probably superior because it helps with your monthly reports and understanding of things. But right now, the agenda item is for the board to decide whether or not to change the allocations of the interest income that were established many, many moons ago.
Yeah, I'm still confused at how water cannot be Okay. That was the past. I'm still amazed that wastewater fund 602 could be earning 2.6% and yet also be 2.6%.
It isn't.
They're not earning. It's not. No, they're getting 2.6% of the 0.2%.
So the little asterisk statement is totally...
Yeah, that needs to be rewritten.
It's we call it in revenue. And
okay, and you say they have, there's $100,000 in that account?
Yes, I have included the... included all the current statements. So in the Rabobank money interest account, there is a total of $2,072,938.07. It's one of your attachments. Yes.
I suggest we remove this item and pass it on to another day. Because this could go on for several more hours. Because there's just definitional
Renee
things
needs
going
direction.
On.
She needs to know what we want her to do. I think maybe the easiest would be to try to... because I see with Chuck's point is all the water interest needs to go to water. So the easiest way, I think, to achieve that would be to... just say whatever percentage is in the water, round up to the nearest percent. Like, so 53% of the money is in the water, 53% of the interest goes to water.
In each of the accounts, in LAIF, in RABO, and in the Premier. That's
yeah,
my problem.
If it's all,
is it all
commingled?
It's all commingled.
Then that's
the problem.
That's how I would suggest we solve this problem. Because we shouldn't table it and go on to something else. She needs direction to do the finances for next month.
Yeah, I
so... So that sounds like that's a good point. If we need to follow those rules, I would suggest the easiest way to do that is the allocation is rounded up to the nearest percent, whatever is in there.
About 65 water, 18, a little under 19, I think, for drainage. And then parks would be about 15.5. But then I didn't include the 2.6
yeah,
for
wastewater. For the auditor, I have to leave 2.6. They need to get 2.6% of something. So...
Okay.
All right, I move that we direct Renee.
We need
public comment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice try.
I will now take public comment on this item.
What the hell is that? Oh. So she knows.
Richard Margetson, this was before your finance committee. It's obvious that members of your finance committee did not read this report, because anybody that read all the way through it immediately saw that there were problems with it. The distribution of this interest needs more explanation. You cannot decide this tonight. Some of it is accumulating interest at 1.77 or 1.755. Some of it's accumulating interest at 0.2. The 2.6, I think you need to go back to find the agreement of when that assessment fund was set up and what interest rate they were drawing at that point. This, you should not be approving it. And part of the reason you shouldn't be approving it tonight is because what Chuck's talking about, an enterprise fund. You cannot give money earned by an enterprise fund to another fund without it being a loan. That has to be repaid with the going interest rate. So... go ahead and approve this or approve what you want to do, but it's totally inappropriate. This staff report from start to finish made no sense until some of the comments were made tonight. As an example, since fire no longer, and it's underlined, no longer has funds in LAIF, Rabobank, or Pacific Premier CD account, I recommend temporarily making the following interest rate. On the second page, it says Pacific Premier Bank CD interest. The CD that was at Pacific Premier was the public facility CD, which was supposed to be a designated fund only for public facility fees, because public facility fees have a specific purpose and you cannot use them for anything else. That's why Phil separated that out into that CD years ago. So there wouldn't be a mistake down the road that those funds were used for something that they're not supposed to be. This has to be redone. It has to come back. And on a side note, I showed this to this report to a member of county staff in the water department. They said if this had been turned in to them, that person would have been packing their desk by the end of the day.
That's helpful.
Julie Tacker, and I think I'm confused by the whole subject of commingled. How can you not be able to track whose money is what in each account? If you have good reserve balances, then you know. Years ago, I think it was our board, probably about 2006, we wanted to be able to track everything, and we had lots of accounts, separated everything into its own account so that we could track it very well. When some wisdom of some other general manager came around and the LAIF was the place to go for higher interest, and that we were in this group of other districts and cities and whoever county, we got better interest and it was safer to put it in LAIF. So we put it all back. And now it sounds like you want to pull it all out again so you can track it. Your monthly financials, annual financials, audits, etc., it shouldn't be this hard to somehow, I don't know how you say commingled and not be able to know which fund owns how much money. It's just, the whole conversation is baffling to me. Of course, the percentage of whichever fund's money should be this, be earning the interest. We don't remember, I don't remember, who would have ever given administration interest. That was unfortunate. But we had a series of bad administrators. A series. 16 and 16 years. So, it sounds to me like this has to continue. The conversation has to continue. Yes, I know you want some direction, but your recommendation isn't the way to go. The recommendation that I think has ferreted out in the discussion tonight is certainly makes more sense, and it's probably more legal because that is enterprise funds.
Is there any further public comment? Seeing none, I will close public comment. Do we have any further board discussion?
What I would really like to see is a breakdown of how much the LAIF has in terms of waters money, drainage money, and then take the percentage of that and allocate it to those funds. And the same thing with Rabobank, because they earn different amounts. So it seems like we'd need to know the percentage of each of the funds. And we're not going to get that tonight.
And that's what we're working on. Exactly what you just said is exactly what we don't know and what we are working on. So, but in the meantime, we have to close out June, and you know, what do we do there with the interest and how that's been allocated and been used as interest income in each revenue and expense report in each fund, you know, for that. And then, you know what I mean, if we could at least do something for June, then technically we can do nothing in July and August and September or for however long it takes. That's simple. But you know, but in the meantime, it's been sitting there, and we'll need to eventually close the fiscal year end. So, if we want to just do something for just June, that's fine. And then we don't do anything, you know, we don't allocate anything until we figure it out. You know, at that point, we'll already have figured out how much is where and where we should put it.
So temporary means. June.
We can just do June. Exactly. We can just do June. We can approve this for just June, just so that we can move on from those books and then.
So the LAIF funds, were they, are they just co-mingled, or are they, were
LAIF
they?
LAIF funds are co-mingled. The money marketing is co-mingled. The only thing that we knew that was 100% that was going to fire, we don't know. That's what we're looking into, is we're going back
but
into.
But we never said at some point that the money in LAIF belongs to XYZ.
That's what
fund.
We're looking into.
Okay.
So we're looking through minutes and resolutions, and we're trying to figure out.
It just seems like the easiest way to make sure that we don't put interest where it's not supposed to be is to just divide it up as.
I'm just looking for a solution for Jim. So however you guys want
I actually have a recommendation.
Okay.
I would recommend that for your temporary fix, you just direct the general manager to figure out what percentage of water funds are in each account and allocate the same percentage of the interest income to the water fund. And don't worry about allocations of all the other funds, because those aren't restricted funds. You could use the interest earned on those funds for any purpose. I would accept from that the what's described as the fiduciary, assuming that that has some legal aspects to it that I've never reviewed. So you'd want to make sure that whatever the prior legal determinations were as to what percentage of interest income had to go to the fiduciary account would go to it. And you'd protect the water fund, and don't worry about everything else. With commingled funds, what a lot of other places do is they never allocate the interest. The interest earned just ends up into the funds that you can spend on anything you want. And so it's not restricted in any way legally. So you may take, in a city, I would use the words general fund. Here, let's call it your ad valorem tax, which is revenue that you get that you don't put into a special fund, but it goes everywhere and you allocate it in separate ways. So you may have allocated some of your ad valorem tax to water, which you don't have to drainage, and that's what pays for your administration. But the funds that are sitting there that came in that aren't expended, they do earn interest, but they aren't required to be expended on the same thing and in the same percentages as you budgeted your money that year. It's just revenue that's left over at the end of the year that you decide in the next budget how you want to allocate. But I would protect the fiduciary fund and the water fund and just not worry about what the percentage is for everything else. Deal with that in your budget every year. Otherwise, we're going to spend 27 hours on a $300 problem, that's not a good allocation of our time. That's my recommendation.
Sounds good.
Sounds easy.
Yeah, easy's good. All
right. Then I need a motion.
Okay, let me see if I can paraphrase. I move that we allocate the interest to water in the percentage that belongs to water, and anything that's in the fiduciary fund that needs to be allocated to the fiduciary fund be allocated that way, and the rest we will retain. Maybe we can pay you for your time for administrating the other thing. That's okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Director Cesena, do you have a position?
Yes, you didn't call for my position yet. I was not in favor, so I did not say aye. Okay. You did not ask for those opposed.
Opposed?
Yes, I'm opposed.
Motion carries 3-1.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on to considering future agenda items. Any requests from board members?
We're going to have the update on the low-income assistance at some point, aren't we? Reworking that? Okay.
We will put guidelines. These already, we should start. I think that's going to take a little while. So
yes.
We should start on that.
Or at least discuss what we want. Can we discuss it at the next meeting? Like set some parameters for the low-income assistance fund?
Well, I think the board designated FAC to, like, that be some kind of a talking place. So maybe there. Maybe we could start up there and then when you get someplace, we can bring up those items back to the board. Suggestion. Unless Director Sassanio, you want it both, or what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that as soon as we have information, I mean, I don't know how good it'll do us to start a discussion about parameters if we don't know how many people we might be reaching with each of those parameters.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if we had some information back from the county.
Yeah.
If we told them we're taking care of these 10, how many are on this next list, what? Yeah. Yeah.
But is working this out at FAC, does that...
I don't think it should be FAC. I think we should set the parameters. I think we should discuss what our goal is.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We don't need to take direction from FAC to discuss that. It shouldn't be so... I mean, I think Julie had a good idea. We could put a cap on it to make sure that one person isn't taking like 10% of the fund. I think we could discuss our goals of what we really want to do with this money is help lower income first, and maybe if there's money left over, bump it up and let some people that just don't quite qualify for county but still need help. I mean, that's what we should
set
these.
But I guess the question, do we agendize it, and then we can always drop it if we don't have enough information to help us move ahead with the discussion.
Yeah. But we could probably hammer out some things. Like, I mean, we all probably have some opinions, and we could narrow it down. And then we can leave some stuff. I think we should talk about it sooner rather than later. And I don't think we need the finance committee.
So your suggestion is that we put it...
Let's put it on the agenda for next month.
For the next month.
Any other suggestions for agenda items for next month? Are there any closing board comments? Now,
school's still out. It's still a 25 mile an hour speed limit.
Thank you. Any others?
More members of the community would be welcome to come and say what they think. Encourage more participation.
Always. The meeting is adjourned.
God love us.